You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning, Kirsten.
Good morning.
Now, we're travelling back in time to 1986 here, and we're headed toward the UK, and specifically a cassette that was released called C86 by NME, the music publication.
Yeah, New Musical Express. Back then, in the olden days, we didn't have the internet, so Music press was really
strong.
Important,
yeah.
You know, for finding out what was going on. And, you know, New Zealand, we had lots of cool, various things. And so it was very competitive. And in the UK at that time, there was actually four major ones. NME is one. And so they would, for them to put together a cassette of emerging bands in this new genre. So this was the first time indie had been used sort of as a genre and name, because officially indie means independent music, right? Mm. It's not a genre. It can be anything on any independent label. But this kind of codified a particular vibe / sound / genre. When it came along with your magazine paper.
We're talking like jangling guitars sort of indie, aren't we? Power poppy,
yes.
Stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is what made it what it was, because this tape kind of became like the thing. And it was pop, like you said, not rock and roll, which was sort of a big, you know, it was trying to establish what it was.
Mm. Should we play a song? This is a cassette tape, a compilation of indie guitar music in the 80s, you know, all UK bands?
Yes.
Yes.
UK, but yes, UK, but Scottish, you know, it's not London, not all London bands, which was really important at the time. So yes, mm-hmm. UK.
Okay. What track shall we start with?
Well, we'll go in order what we got here. So this is the first track on the album. The CD on side A, CDs of sides, Primal Scream, Velocity Girl.
Whopping 1 minute 20 in length there, Primal Scream, Velocity Girl. Ah, that is a great song though.
Well, and the words that are supposed to come to mind are Jangle and Twee. Mm-hmm. So they're a Scottish band, and you know, having this song first, apparently people feel really just crystallized an entire album. They actually, a couple of them left. Were in a band called Jesus and Mary Chain, left that band. Formed this one, and they actually hated the C86
compilation.
So, label that they got attached to from then on. They said everybody else on the album couldn't play or write songs. So, but you know what I mean. When you're an indie band, you hate any labels at all. And so, you know, the band's associated with this, then everyone's like, oh, then you guys are all this, and they're like, no, we're so different. We're special. So this next one is Close Lobsters, and the band is the song is Fire Station Towers. They're also Scottish.
Here we go. Let this play out. You want to talk over it? Yes. It's also another short one. Kirsten, broadly speaking, how would you say that this particular NME cassette tape, C86, shaped the cultural identity of indie music in the 80s?
Oh, it's considered absolutely pivotal, absolutely important. That really shaped, you know, when you think of other music that was happening in the 80s, like in America, like, you know, the huge stadium rock and stuff, bringing this music sort of out to everybody. And then this became, you know, like the dominant kind of rock. In New Zealand, it was really big. That's what most bands were doing, was this kind of sound. Yeah, so apparently, you know, this cassette tape is just so important to the movement.
It was something that people had to order. It was a mail order cassette tape, so it didn't come like stuck to the front of a magazine.
It didn't come stuck to the magazine. I thought it did.
No, apparently you had to mail order it, which kind of which it I thought was
even
quite
less distribution. Yeah. Oh, maybe in New Zealand it came with it, but maybe yeah. Okay. Now, what's funny? This gets even funnier. So they did a re-release of it in 2006. And then in 2014, but the 2014 version came with a 11,000 word sleeve note packet. 11,000 words.
Someone's written a thesis, and
these guys. I mean, it was such an important movement, but they're also a group of people that love to talk about themselves and what they're doing and how it's not C86 and how you should not call them that because they shouldn't have labels. But anyway, it became sort of a pejorative term as well.
Movement, you know. Like people would refer to the genre as C86, right?
Yeah, and they're like, no, you know, or your band sounds like that. I have one quote. It says it's the most indie thing ever to have existed.
That's so good.
The desolate wasteland of what came to be known by the vile term indie.
How would you say the C86 tape went on to influence later genres like shoegaze, alternative rock, and Britpop?
Oh, I think it's very important. Everything comes back to that. And I think, you know, the fact that the bands, you know, still sort of maintains, you know, they didn't become like super, you know, mega famous, you know, they still maintained the elements of their independence, you know, and still musicians doing their work, playing gigs. A lot of them kept releasing albums, you know, up until the 2010s. I think it was really cool to think about, you know, a bunch of young people just doing this and then it becoming so important and so long lasting, as you, like you said, with other future genres still sort of centered around that.
Shall we play another tune?
Yeah, so let's do A Witness is the name of the band, and the track is called Sharpened Sticks.
This is a bit more post-punk. This one sounds very reminiscent of The Fall, Kirsten.
Well, one review says surrealist lyrics and angular, spiky sound. They're from Manchester.
How would you say the compilation reflects DIY ethos?
100%. Definitely the ethos. I don't know if legitimately, you know, when we come through them and go and they all qualify, like, officially. But absolutely, it's supposed to sound. It was an antithesis to the sort of stadium rock, because rock had, you know, rock and roll had started really grassroots. And then in the 60s, it had been super diverse. But by the 70s, 80s, you're just getting these kind of big, fat, very expensive, well-produced bands, you know, the Eagles, that sort of thing. And so this was just kind of really stripping it back to that stuff that teenagers can do. That's what DIY is. Like, anyone can do it. Pick up some guitars with your friends and do it. Another name that comes up when I was looking into this is John Peel.
Yes, yes.
And he was a dude that worked at some BBC Radio 1. And he was always very interested in, you know, diverse musics and tastes. And he was a keen fan of this, of some of these bands, and sort of
big
brought
advocate.
Them into things. And yeah. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he's probably one of the most famous, you know, like British radio DJs of all time.
That's right. That's right.
So
that's
influential. Right.
And part of it was because he was, you know, had really interesting music that he wanted to bring to people, you know?
There we go. That was very, that had loads of DIY flavor. And also, you know, that nice kind of like lo-fi, super lo-fi.
Now this our last track, they're the only band that was kind of, had political lyrics. They were communists, like, because when you think about independent and this real radical DIY, you'd think you'd get a lot of like politics, and you didn't. You know, they wanted to be pop, they wanted to, you know, I don't know, just have fun. And so this band is actually unique. So the band's called McCarthy. The track is Celestial City. But yeah, just reading about the whole movement, these guys are the only ones that were actually quite political. Someone calls them frail, tragic, romantic idealists.
Say the music on C86 says about youth in the 80s and 80s culture.
Oh my god. So I've just got a quote here. This is pitch aching, shimmering delicacy, but no, that doesn't describe the youth. Yeah, you know, there's a bit of angst. It's funny because, you know, I guess all generations have that a bit. I guess it's more humility, you know, than some other, you know, I can do everything. This is just more, you know, simplicity, angst. It was really big in New Zealand. Like, the sound of these bands as to what was being produced in New Zealand at the time.
Yes. Yeah, it's very,
very, very big influence.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, and I think that does, you know, speak to the youth of the time, you know, sort of economic woes. You get this sort of middle class that had been gradually getting wealthier, all of a sudden saying, I don't know, things are going to be up and down. you know, sometimes struggle street and sometimes not. Boys finding out their masculinity, you know, like people, you know, because with, you know, women and feminism getting stronger, you know, young men trying to figure out how to be men in this new era, you know, and so maybe that's hence some of the angst and the introspection, you know, who am I, what am I doing? And,
Is there an element of the political climate in the UK at the time reflected on the music, reflected in the music on the tape?
Well, no, not as much. Just this band, apparently, you know, because all this sort of Thatcher stuff, you know, like, and I think that's quite surprising. I don't know if the magazines were doing it, or if really just was, you know, that these young men weren't interested. You know, it just wasn't a thing at the time. Although I say men, there was. Women in some of the bands, the indie scene's always been really better than other scenes to have some sort of gender diversity. But yeah, no, it wasn't as political as you'd think with, you know, a whole bunch of young men on independent labels. Like, you can say whatever you want. Like, let's go for it. That just wasn't what they wanted to say, you know?
Okay. For everyone just wanting a quick recap of what we've been talking about this morning, we've been chatting about a tape called C86 that was released by NME, New Musical Express in the UK in 1986, and it is apparently the definitive indie guitar compilation, which just basically spawned the entire genre.
So I read another thing, you know, that independent label, you know, like you were saying before, it has this bearing that it could be so avant-garde and political, but someone else said it became pallid guitar music. Yeah. So I don't know. So, you know, so there's, you know, pros and cons to the genre. It's kind of polarizing. You know, like I said, some of the band members like hated it, hated the label, hated the genre. But yeah, just really important in rock/indie music history. And then I would say also, you know, we could probably, you know, New Zealand, be a lot of great New Zealand responses to this, I would think.
Excellent.
People who formed bands at the time.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for this morning's Travelling Tunes, Kirsten. We'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
All right.
Thanks, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.